This is Jay Sekulow coming to you from Washington, D.C. We've got a special guest, U.S. Senator John Kyle, The Issue, Federal Judges.
Live from Washington, D.C.
This is my right.
Jay Sekulow Live.
Right given by God.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now.
Live a free life.
Call 1-800-684-3110.
Live in freedom.
That's 1-800-684-3110.
Talking about freedom.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
I will fight.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the broadcast. We've got a very special broadcast going on today, and that is in a few moments, U.S. Senator John Kyle is going to walk across the street. He's in the United States Capitol. He's a senator from Arizona. He's also the Republican whip, which means he's the second-ranking Republican in the United States Senate. He also, for our purposes today, serves as one of the leaders on the Judiciary Committee, and that's where judges are confirmed. And there's an issue that we've been concerned with, Jordan. We've been concerned with it for 7 years, and that is to make sure conservative judicial nominees get confirmed. And the problem is, if you look at what's the basis upon which judges are not being confirmed or their hearings are denied, there's one consistent pattern, and you see it with three parts. They're conservative, they're pro-life, they're active in their church, and their faith is they take seriously. And that becomes the disqualifier. Now, you've been working with our government affairs staff here in Washington, D.C. What is your sense? Has it gotten better or worse, or where are we?
It's worse. And Senator Kyle's going to talk about this because I've seen him in the past. The biggest problem we've got is the American people. The pressure's not there on the Senate. We have groups like us. There's people like Senator Kyle, but he's in the minority now in the U.S. Senate. And within that minority, there's just a few Senator Kyles, those that are really working hard in the U.S. Senate to get these nominees through. There's only a couple of other groups like us who are still keeping this issue, which is not popular in the news,
right,
which is not popular in mainstream media. So for ratings, it's not good for the cable news networks. But we know how important this issue is because for every clicking time away we've got, for every month we get closer to a new president, a new administration, and new questions about who those nominees are going to be, we know that President Bush has nominated good nominees. We know they're there, but they are not getting hearings. If they are getting hearings, they're not getting votes. The deals that have been made in the U.S. Senate have been broken time and time again, but the liberals can do that, and they can do that because they have no pressure coming from the American people. The American people don't care about the promises that they're breaking on judicial nominees. And I still think that the American people, even those who listen to this program every day, don't understand the importance of these circuit court nominees who basically decide 99.9% of all the cases in federal court.
You know, when I look at the statistics of the number of vacancies, 11 circuit court vacancies, 7 of which are judicial emergencies. I'm going to go over these numbers again with Senator Kyle. 36 district court vacancies. We're in these courts. I mean, we're in these courts on a regular basis. And the fact of the matter is, as it stands right now, the judicial nomination situation is a crisis. If you're concerned about, if the listeners are concerned about issues involving the right to pray at school, if you're concerned about the abortion issue, the definition of marriage, if you're concerned about partial birth abortion, any of these issues we discuss are going to be decided by judges. And then you look at things like the Fairness Doctrine, which we're going to be talking about in the next couple of weeks on air, where you've got, you know, this attempt to basically gut the airwaves from, quote, controversial speech, which will be anything that's Christian or conservative. You have to have judges who are going to make the determination as to whether those bills are constitutional or not. So who sits on the bench really does make a huge difference and has a huge impact.
And people have got to get engaged on this issue.
Yep.
If we don't get engaged as a people, as an American people, nothing will happen on this issue because Senator Kyle's going to talk about it. When there's no political pressure on the majority party, which there's not right now, they have no pressure to do anything. To keep their promises, they don't have to if the media is not going to cover that they're breaking promises, written and oral promises they've made on C-SPAN, on television, in paper, in conferences, and they're breaking them, they're disregarding them, and they don't care because it's not getting covered. And it's just like in politics, if it's not covered in the news, if the media is not talking about it, it's like it never happened.
Do you think these candidates need to be talking about judicial appointments? If you think they should, we want you to sign our citizens' request to the presidential candidates to get them to talk about the judges. This is going to be a request from you to the candidates. We want thousands of people to participate. You saw what happened last week when we got you involved. The issue of abortion was discussed. Now we want judges discussed. Here's the number for you to call. Everybody listening, call right now. 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255. We'll be taking more of your calls when we come back at ACLJ.org. But you call right now. 1-877-989-2255.
Whether it's a federal district court or the Supreme Court of the United States, judges do make a difference. The American Center for Law and Justice understands the danger of activist judges and has fought to support judicial nominees who uphold the Constitution and the rule of law. There's so much at stake in this election. The next president will appoint numerous judges to the nation's federal district and appellate courts. And it's very likely the next president will make at least one and maybe several appointments to the U.S. Supreme Court. As the election approaches, Americans want an answer to this critical question. What's the judicial philosophy of Senators Obama and McCain? What kind of judges would they appoint? Stand with the ACLJ and put pressure on the candidates to address this issue before Election Day. Sign on now to the ACLJ Citizens Request to the Campaigns, demanding that both candidates tell us their judicial philosophy. Tell us what kind of judges they would appoint. Call now, 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255. Or add your name online at aclj.org.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. And now there's a new way you can stand with the ACLJ.
ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow with news about an important new way to stay in touch with the ACLJ, the ACLJ wireless service.
With an ACLJ wireless phone, you'll get special updates from me straight to your phone. And the best part, you're helping the ACLJ.
10% of the proceeds from your monthly service go directly to support the ACLJ. Plus, if you sign up today, the ACLJ receives an additional $10 at no extra cost to you. There's flexible and affordable calling plans. ACLJ Wireless, the latest member benefit that saves you money as you support the ACLJ. Other services include digital phone service, DSL for faster internet, and DirecTV. Call ACLJ Member Services, 1-800-311-2501. That's 1-800-311-2501. Or online at aclj.org/benefits.
This is my right, a right given by God, to live a free life.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to the program. Our phone lines are 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. We're really privileged to have in our studios right here in Washington, D.C., a very good friend, someone that I have tremendous, tremendous respect for, and that is U.S. Senator from Arizona, John Kyle. He's the Republican whip. He's been a leader on so many issues. We're going to talk about judges today, but first, Senator Kyle, thanks for being with us.
Thank
we
you,
really
Jay.
Appreciate
great
it.
To be with you and all your great listeners.
Thank you. A lot of questions are already coming in. The issue is judges. I've got a report that our office has been assembling. Your office has been working on it, too, and, of course, it's kind of a big concern, and that is there's 11 circuit court vacancies. We've got 10 nominees. 7 nominees are judicial emergencies. 36 district court vacancies with 21 emergencies. And if you were to compare the Bush administration's last 2 years, what we're in right now, versus President Clinton, 15 nominations confirmed, and we are sitting right now at 8, and we have a real risk at losing a conservative Fourth Circuit, which so many of the key issues we're involved in come out of the Fourth Circuit. This is your area. You serve, of course, on the Judiciary Committee, and among others, you're also on the Senate Finance Committee. But let's talk about Judiciary. How are we going to do? What are we going to do here?
Well, you've laid the foundation great. In fact, it's interesting that in each of the last four presidencies, the last 2 years of that presidency, the other party had control of the Senate. So it's an interesting comparison between Reagan, Bush 1, Clinton, and now Bush 2. As to how much, how many judges are confirmed by the other party being in control of the Senate. And as you pointed out, with Bill Clinton, there were 15 in his last 2 years of circuit court nominees. There have only been 8 so far in the last 2 years of the Bush administration. And because of the Senate calendar and the fact that the election is coming up and we're going to be adjourning for the conventions, there is very little time. And it takes time with these nominees to vet them, to have the FBI vetting, to have the Bar Association vetting, to have the hearing, to answer the questions, then to have the markup where the nominee is put out of the committee, and finally to have the vote on the Senate floor. Given all of those time constraints, it is virtually impossible now, even if the Democrat leadership intended to move, which they obviously don't, to get the same number confirmed with President Bush that were confirmed for President Clinton.
We take a look at the situation. I mean, there's a couple things that we need to say right at the outset, and that this is obviously politics. I mean, we're talking a political situation here. You and your colleagues, and you were one of the leaders on this, did a magnificent job in moving forward two tremendously great Supreme Court nominees. I mean, the one thing I tell people is when I look at the numbers, you can get disappointed about some of the numbers, but there's two things I could be really, really pleased with and really impressed with is that we've got John Roberts as the Chief Justice of the United States and Sam Alito, who took over Justice O'Connor's spot. But you look at the cases. I've got a couple of cases coming up in the Supreme Court in the fall that I'm arguing, and we've got others on the way. This issue of judges, so far in the political season, has not played a huge issue yet. Now, in part, it's because you've got we're just now getting to the Democratic nominee selected, and now John McCain for the Republicans and Barack Obama for the Democrats. Do you think the issue of judges will play significantly in the election? Will the American people once again concentrate on the fact that the Supreme Court of the United States is literally at stake here?
Yes, I think they will, and both sides will. Democrats, liberals know full well that the balance of the court hangs in the balance here with whoever's elected, and the more conservative part of the Republican Party, the base of Republicans, the people that John McCain needs to ensure his election, will also care very much about it. There could be three Supreme Court replacements during the first 4 years of the next presidency. Could be.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I don't wish ill health on anyone, but given the age and health status of some of the justices, that could well happen. So this is critical. It is critical of the future of the court and obviously the future of the nation.
You know, I've explained to people that the fact of the matter is, and I think we've got to look at this when you talk about the Supreme Court of the United States, that the next president probably selects the Supreme Court for the rest of my life. In other words, if you look at what I'm litigating, let's say I do this for another 25 years of litigation at the Supreme Court of the United States, pretty much the majority of the court, because the two newest justices are about my age in their early 50s. Generally, they're appointed in their 50s. So the next president appoints three. That's the five-court majority for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
And the ramifications are really significant.
Yeah, this is a moment in history is what you're saying, and you're absolutely correct. So I do believe that the people that drive both the left and the right know full well what's at stake here and that they'll be very much engaged. But that means the left is just as much engaged as the right, and they care very much. And what would Barack Obama do? Well, how did he vote on the two that you mentioned, the two Supreme Court nominees? He voted against them both.
Right.
Imagine that. And the test that he has laid out is the most ooey-gooey test of, I want a new Supreme Court justice to have heart and empathy and to care. As I believe it was Justice Roberts, but it may have been Alito during questioning, said, I will rule in favor of the party who has a right to win, not
right.
Based upon who they are, what they are, or anything else about them.
That was Sam Alito, right. He was absolutely correct on that. We've got a lot of calls coming in. And folks, let me tell you something. This issue is going to play out significantly, literally, with the elections coming up. It is the Supreme Court of the United States at stake. Jordan, who do we have?
Let's go right to the phones. Becky is calling from Michigan on line one. Becky, welcome to JSecio Live.
Hi, Becky. You're on the air.
I'd like to know what they're doing about the judicial filibusters. Have they done anything so that they can't do that anymore?
Well, the question is there a soft filibuster going on?
Yeah.
For people that don't know what that is, we probably need to explain. And that is basically the judges come forward and they not move through. They're either not out of committee or not getting floor votes. Is there a soft judicial filibuster going on right now?
Absolutely. It's a great question. Yeah, it's not a filibuster on the floor. These judicial nominees are never getting to the floor of the Senate. They're not getting hearings. If they do get a hearing, as Peter Keisler has had, he's been languishing now for almost 2 years. They're saying, well, now maybe we have to have a second hearing. And he's not being brought to the agenda of the committee so that the committee can pass him out to the floor. So it's not the filibuster on the floor. It's the soft filibuster that you point out of just not allowing these nominees a chance to even have a hearing or to be considered in the Judiciary Committee.
Jordan, you've been working with our government affairs team on the judicial nominations issue. And what is the sense from the staffers of what we're hearing on the Hill right now? Obviously, we have with the Senator Kyle here, we're hearing it directly from the person that serves. What's the sense on the Hill right now?
Sense is we got to make it an issue to make it matter. Yes. And again, just like the judicial nominees, when we got the people riled up on radio for the Supreme Court nominees, we have to do that again for these nominees. And we've got to still work on making folks understand the importance of the circuit courts, the district courts, all of the nominees, so where it's not just the Supreme Court where everyone gets enraged and involved in the battle, but for every judicial nominee to get a fair and up and down vote.
You know, you mentioned Peter Keisler. There's one that should have been confirmed a while ago. I look at a consistent pattern I see developing also, Senator Kahn. That is, if there is a conservative judicial philosophy, if there's an inkling that this particular justice might be, or nominee, might be pro-life, if they're involved in their church, and it doesn't matter what denomination it is, if they're involved in their church or their synagogue, there's been Jewish judges that have been pending that are involved in their synagogue and not getting through, that seems to almost be a disqualifier now, or certainly a roadblock that if you were to put it out there that stark, people would say, how could that possibly be? But there does seem to be this common trend, conservative, maybe pro-life, you know, taking their faith seriously, and all of a sudden you're not qualified.
Here's the evidence of the truth of what you say. We had a deal with Harry Reid, the majority leader,
right,
and the chairman of the Judiciary Committee, Pat Leahy, that they would use their best efforts, and in the Senate, that's a commitment, to get three judges confirmed before Memorial Day, three more circuit court judges. Well, one got confirmed. How did that happen? What Pat Leahy attempted to do was to pick two judges that he wanted who were compromise nominees, who were the result of a deal, frankly, and they weren't near ready. They didn't have the FBI check. They didn't have the Bar Association check yet, and they hadn't gone through the process. And there is a certain amount of time that this takes. Instead of taking those that were ready, people like Peter Keisler, for example, who he could have gotten done in just
sure.
a matter of days, he reached down and, in effect, had these people take cuts because he wanted them, because they were, in his view, less conservative. And as a result, there just wasn't time to get them done. We only got one of the three judges confirmed before Memorial Day, and he has continued to delay the more conservative judges.
That's what's happening, folks. I mean, this is a direct delay attack. I mean, there's nothing hidden about it. They're not on their agenda. They're very specific on how they're handling it. Jordan, go ahead. Who do we have next?
Don's calling from Illinois on line four. Don, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Well, I want to know why, when these prospective judges are interviewed by the Senate committee and asked about their opinions regarding abortion or what their faith is, why they can't say, you can't ask me that question.
Well, it's an issue, Senator, that comes up. I mean, and there was early on in the President Bush's administration, the first 4 years, that became a huge issue where they were almost religious litmus tests.
Mm-hmm.
That is not how do you recommend when a nominee is asked that question? I mean, you're counseling him. I don't want to disclose anything you can't disclose. But how do you handle the faith questions?
If I were counseling the nominee, I would simply say, I'm a member of the Valley Presbyterian Church in Phoenix, Arizona. Next question.
Okay.
And I mean, what's the point of getting beyond that? That is an aspect of my background. It's an aspect of who I am. So I think it is a legitimate question. Are you a person of faith? Do you have a church? Do you have a synagogue? Whatever. Answer the question. Move on.
Well, this is a thing, you know, the problem, of course, has been getting them to even to the point where they can ask a question.
Yeah,
that, it's been the difficulty.
That's the problem.
That's the problem. But we've got more with Senator Kyle. We've got a lot of calls coming, and we'll come back in just a moment. You go to your phones right now. 877-989-2255 is the number. That's 877-989-2255. We need to hear from all 50 states. Again, 877-989-2255 or ACLJ.org. Back with more with Senator Kyle when we come back.
Now there's a great new way to stay in touch with the American Center for Law and Justice, ACLJ Wireless. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow.
With ACLJ Wireless, you'll get special updates from me and be able to get critical information fast, right from your phone. And the best part, you're helping the ACLJ.
The ACLJ Wireless service, 10% of the proceeds from your monthly service go directly to support the ACLJ. Plus, if you sign up today, the ACLJ receives an additional $10 at no extra cost to you. Choose from the most popular phones. Flexible and affordable calling plans starting at $29.99 with every 6 months of service free. And keep your existing cell number.
By using ACLJ Wireless, you're helping the ACLJ stand up for your rights.
ACLJ Wireless Service from ACLJ Member Services. Call now. 1-800-311-2501. That's 1-800-311-2501. Or online at acljwireless.com.
Whether it's a federal district court or the Supreme Court of the United States, judges do make a difference. The American Center for Law and Justice understands the danger of activist judges and has fought to support judicial nominees who uphold the Constitution and the rule of law. There's so much at stake in this election, the next president will appoint numerous judges to the nation's federal district and appellate courts. And it's very likely the next president will make at least one and maybe several appointments to the U.S. Supreme Court. As the election approaches, Americans want an answer to this critical question. What's the judicial
official philosophy of Senators Obama and McCain? What kind of judges would they appoint? Stand with the ACLJ and put pressure on the candidates to address this issue before Election Day. Sign on now to the ACLJ Citizens Request to the Campaigns, demanding that both candidates tell us their judicial philosophy. Tell us what kind of judges they would appoint. Call now, 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255. Or add your name online at aclj.org.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to the broadcast. We're joined today in the studio, and this is really excited about this, Senator John Kyle from Arizona. He represents the good people of Arizona, but I'll tell you, this represents all of us that are concerned about values and about freedom and liberty. He serves, of course, on the Senate Finance Committee, but what we're talking about today is his work on what is very important and right in my heart, and that is the Judiciary Committee. We're taking your questions at 1-800-684-3110. We've got more of those questions coming in, so once we have Senator Kyle here, let's go right to the phones.
Peggy's calling from Washington on line 3. Peggy, welcome to JSecio Live.
Hi, Peggy.
How are the appointments made to the Judiciary Committee, and who determines who is the chairman? How are they appointed? And if there's anything we as the little people out here can do to affect
sure.
that.
Well, yeah. But to hear over the baby, that was
right.
a good thing.
I hear real little people
yeah,
out there. That's great.
Right. But that is a good question yeah. about you serve, of course, on the Judiciary Committee.
Yeah.
The majority party gets the chairmanship.
That's,
how does that all work, and how do we determine who's going to be our leaders yeah. on these various parties?
Let me answer two ways. First of all, the size and the composition of the committee is based upon the ratio of majority to minority. In that right now, the Senate is 51-49. Under the traditions of the committee, that means that the majority has one more member than the minority. If all of a sudden Republicans were to win 60 seats and Democrats had 40, we'd have the chairmanship and we'd probably have a majority of three or four on the committee. So that's the basis of the ratio. The members are chosen slightly differently with the two different parties. In the Republican side, it is essentially a seniority-driven process. That is to say, you go down a list and you start with the most senior senator. Which committee would you like to be on? I say, I'd like to be on the Judiciary Committee. All right, I'm on the Judiciary Committee. And you just keep rotating or you just keep going through the list until you have your seats filled. On the Democratic side, it is, I believe, primarily a matter of the leader of the Democrats mm-hmm. selecting all of the members of the committee. He obviously takes into account their preferences, seniority, and other factors, but unlike the Republican side, it is, I think, virtually his choice as opposed to mostly considering seniority on the Republican side.
All right, let's get some more questions in here. We got Senator John Kyle, who is the Republican whip and doing a great job for all of us that are concerned about these values. I know the judges' issue has been close to your heart. We've got a few minutes left with the senator. Let's go, Jordan, who do we have next?
And more calls coming in, some interesting calls, too. Don's calling from Michigan on line 5. Don, welcome to JSecio Live.
Hi, Don.
Hi, Jay. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Do you believe we should have Supreme Court judges appointed for life?
That's a good question. The Constitution says it, so that's it. I actually think it is a good thing. I think the founders were right in doing a life appointment because it does keep it's supposed to keep the court out of the political process. I mean, that's the idea there, that they'd be appointed for life. But you have to know the judicial philosophy. One of the things, Senator Kyle, I've always said, and I've appreciated with your questioning of judges, somebody will say, well, don't you just want to come out and ask the judicial nominee, how do you view Roe versus Wade, or how do you view the school prayer cases? And I always come back and say, you want to know their judicial philosophy. How do they understand their role as judge? To me, that tells the entire story rather than a particular case.
Yeah, in fact, I think it is wrong, a violation of the judicial canons to ask a judge how he would rule in a particular case.
Right.
And most of the time, they're pretty careful not to do that. I mean, that's exactly what would be wrong with the system if a judge told you in advance. I mean, imagine yourself
right.
a litigator. As you are, you go into court, and that judge has already said that he'll never rule in favor of a,
right.
of a client like
right.
yours. So
right.
that doesn't set too well. So what you ought to do is say, look, I'm not going to deal with hypotheticals. I'm not going to tell you how I would rule in a particular case. You can never know all of the factors of a particular case and how the law might have evolved prior to that time. All I can tell you is, here's the way I approach judging, and then lay out your approach. Now, the reality is, it's probably not going to be satisfactory for people, because you can do that in a fairly benign
Absolutely.
Way,
right.
regardless of your philosophy. So this is where the background of the nominees is important, and trying to get a hint here and there about how they might approach cases based upon what they've done in the past.
You know, it's interesting to me, because you look at the way John Roberts and Sam Alito handled their confirmation hearings, which I thought were both perfect.
Very, exactly
perfect.
Right.
They would not answer the question of how they're going to rule on a particular case, but they talked about their judicial philosophy. They talked about how they viewed themselves as the role of judges. And, you know, if you look at, if you were to trace this back through American constitutional history, if you were to trace it all the way back to the Bible, judges were supposed to call them as they see them. I mean, it was, the umpire analogy was used a lot. They're not supposed to be the lawmaker. That's your job as the legislature. And that, finding out where they view and how they view their job as judge, to me, has always been critical, and that's one of the things you need to be looking for as this judge's issue heats up. Let's try to get a couple more questions in, Jordan.
Sue's calling from Pennsylvania on line two. Sue, welcome to JSEC Hill Live.
Hi, Sue.
Yes, I have a question about the appointments. They're lifelong. What happens if we appoint a judge and, let's say, 10, 15 years down the line, they start making judgments that aren't, let's say, what we thought they would be, or let's say they become under influence of somebody,
sure.
and they start making irrational judgments? What are the checks and balances involved that can be taken up to correct this?
Great question. And, Sue, the checks and balances are on the front end. Once they're in for life.
Although the hard check is impeachment. I mean, if a judge does something clearly wrong, he can be impeached. The soft check is that each judicial circuit or district is has a head judge. That person's responsibility is to assign cases, and it has occurred in the past that a judge that, for example, may be getting a little old and feeble and isn't able to handle responsibilities as well will be given a much lighter caseload. And so there is some ability of the presiding judge, if he's got the or she has the courage to do so, to influence to some extent the kind of caseload that a judge might have. But if a judge is simply going off the deep end politically and isn't doing anything legally wrong, there's nothing you can do about that.
Senator, let me ask you this question, because this comes to the heart of it. You worked very diligently on the nominations and confirmations of Sam Alito and John Roberts, our new Chief Justice. They are going to have influence, Lord willing, for 30 or 40 years. I mean, these are younger guys. They're going to serve for a long time. As you look ahead and you see where we are and where we go, you mentioned the fact that the next president probably selects two, maybe three justices, maybe pretty early into their administration. The Supreme Court of the United States as an institution and its directions at stake, how important is that for the American people? Some people say it's the Supreme Court. It's across the street here in Washington. You know, let Senator Kyle, let Jay, let them worry about that. Why should I be worried about that? But this is an issue that affects everyone right in their community, right in their hometown.
It does. And let me give you one illustration. You've got the California Supreme Court, which on a 4-3 decision,
yes.
essentially overturned the will of the voters of California. They'll have a chance to reiterate their will this fall with a constitutional amendment on this gay marriage issue. What it illustrates is that judges can make law. Judges can amend the Constitution just as the people can. But the Constitution put that responsibility in the hands of the people and their elected representatives. The court can have a huge influence depending upon which way it goes. If it decides to continue as it has to some extent in the past, make law to substitute its judgment for the legislators or the people, then it will be a very bad thing for this republic. If, on the other hand, judges like Thomas and Scalia and Alito and Roberts, of course, are able to gain more sway in the court, then the court itself will be pulling back its power. It's a little like George Washington.
Mm-hmm.
He became most respected because he didn't use his power. And the court does the same thing when it refrains from using its power, it does the best work of all.
If you're on the right or the left, the issue of judicial nominations is critical, and we're not getting a discussion on this. But here's what I want everyone that's listening to me to do. You know, when we spoke out last week and said we've got to have the issue of abortion discussed in these debates, lo and behold, we got a significant discussion on the abortion issue. We were very pleased with that. Now we need it in judges. Now there's no more debate, so each candidate has to do it individually. We want you to go to your phones right now. I want you to add your name to our citizens' request to the presidential candidates. This is saying that as concerned citizens, million of us want to know the details and the rationale by which you would nominate Supreme Court justices and federal judges. Here's the phone number. Add your name right now. 1-888-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3 877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255. This is to add your name to a citizen's petition to speak out on the issue of judges. ACLJ.org. You can sign the letter online as well. 1-877-989-2255.